Through Thick and Thin is a 12-month journey to discover your truest identity and calling in the Lord. Designed by and for young Vietnamese Catholics, this podcast welcomes special guests to discuss the intersection of faith, life, and culture. Now, here's your host, Vivian Nguyen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Through Thick and Thin. I'm your host, Vivian Nguyen, and if you are new here, I post every first Friday of the month. Each month is a chapter of this 12-month journey. Welcome to episode 8. The mission of this podcast is to help you discover your truest identity and purpose, and I pray that as you tune into this podcast, you feel safe and loved just from where you are at. Happy Easter, everyone. I hope everyone had a wholesome Holy Week and a beautiful Easter celebration with your loved ones. Just a little recap. In the previous episode, Father Randy Huang and I talked about sufferings and how much goodness and purpose is found in pain. Father offered new and enlightening perspectives on how pain can be used as one of the pathways to God, and also addressed certain misunderstood notions we have about God and sufferings. It was a very eye-opening and profound conversation. I recommend you listen to if you haven't already. And today, I am once again so elated to bring back our incredible recurring guest to join me in talking about a phrase we hear so often, but do not put much contemplation toward, and that is fight for your faith. Why is it extremely important to stay steadfast and loyal to our faith and love for God? And that will be our essential question for today's conversation. But first, let's welcome Sister Maria Kim back to our podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you for being here. Just start off your thoughts and feelings after the release of episode 5 that you were on.
Well, I think I may have mentioned this on episode 5, but I was tremendously honored and just really privileged to be able to be on your podcast. And I've always admired Mater Dei Radio since coming here to Portland. And when Sarah asked me if I would consider being on your podcast, I was like, what? There's a podcast for Vietnamese American Catholic young people? Like, that is totally me. And in my previous community of the Daughters of St. Paul, mm-hmm. I had been all around the country doing different kinds of ministry. And there's a lot of like Hispanic ministry out there, but not a lot of Vietnamese Catholic ministry. And I just thought it was so cool that Mater Dei, like they even have like on the app, there's like Vietnamese stuff on the app. And I just think, you know, I love the universality of our faith. And I love that God is so personal that he speaks to us even from where we're at. If you're 2 years old, if you're some type of tween or teenager, or if you're near, you know, heaven, you're like 90 or something, God still speaks to you. And so I just loved the idea that I might be on this podcast. So I'm happy to be here again.
Thank you for being here. So as a fun way to kind of like start our podcast, I'm going to ask you not a would you rather question, since you already had the last time, but I'm going to ask you something I asked Father Randy in the previous episode. And for you, what's the hardest part about being a religious sister, and what's the most fun?
So I would say that, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, a lot of times the things that are like the hardest also become the most fun in life, because, and maybe kind of leaning on your previous guest, Father Randy, who's so wonderful, the idea of like, you know, sometimes like leaning into the hard things actually becomes a place where like you start to thrive, you know? So religious life is all about giving your entire life to God, and that's what everybody is called to do. But with the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, it kind of can feel like you're sometimes being stretched to your limit, you know? But as you get stretched, you start to realize, oh my goodness, God's love is that big. And like, God believes in me that much that he's asking me to do yet another hard thing. And I don't know, I think that being like a lifelong learner is one of the best ways of approaching life, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be a religious sister in so far as God, he takes our yes to him very seriously, and he continues to ask us for more holiness, more love, more goodness. But it turns out to be fun, because then you start to realize, oh, wow, like that is actually not bad. It's actually good. Mm-hmm. It's good to be able to learn to, you know, forgive in that way, or to love that person that I feel like, I don't know, is so different than I am. You know?
Mm-hmm. What's the most fun?
I love meeting people. Yeah. And I love being a sister, because I'm an introvert, and I don't do very well with a long conversation about superficial things. But as a sister, usually people come up to you and they ask you to pray for something, or they tell you their story, or they tell you their stories about God. And I just love that. I learn a lot from the people that I meet and different cultures and different life experiences. And yeah, I find that to be absolutely fun, like meeting new people.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're here. Today, I want to tackle a topic. I mentioned fighting for your faith, but even more in a nuanced stance is learning to let go of what we can't keep for ourselves, to keep what we can't lose. And so recently I watched the movie Cabrini, which, by the way, is fantastically produced. And the movie illustrates the historical life of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And it's a story about how she left her country, Italy, to venture out into the new world, so like the United States, particularly New York, with a mission to serve Italian immigrants who were treated with no dignity. And at the time, around like the 1800s, the late 1800s, in Manhattan, New York, there was a wave of Italian immigrants flowing into the U.S. And these Italian immigrants were pushed to the very fringes of society because they were new. And so Mother Cabrini saw this and she wanted to serve them by building orphanages and hospitals and schools. And in the movie, there was a particular scene that caught my attention. And the sisters were essentially making uniforms for these children. And one of her sisters came up to her with two fabric options. The first one was less expensive and, you know, you can make more of it. And the other one was more expensive, but much nicer. And without hesitation, without a doubt, Mother Cabrini chose the more expensive fabric because she said, and I'm paraphrasing, these children need to know that they matter, that they are deserving of respect. And that is shown by how we clothe them, by how we feed them, by how we treat them. And as we can see here, there's just something about this scene I thought that was just so Catholic at its core. And in addition, a profound revelation that I encountered in this scene was that Mother Cabrini, though she knew she didn't have much, you know, money with her or on her, she was willing to let go of what she could not keep, which, you know, was her own selfishness or maybe like a penny pinching mindset that she could have owned to keep what she could not lose, which was her faith, her utter faith and love for God. So in other words, she fought for her faith and she remained steadfast and loyal to her faith in God. And we see this theme consistently depicted and illustrated throughout the movie as she managed to never lose that ambition to fight for her faith. So with this movie serving as context for our discussion, what would you say, like, why should we fight for our faith and why does it matter? And perhaps you could also share like a personal story if you are comfortable of when you realized why fighting for our faith matters.
Yeah, there's so much there in that movie. The one thing I would want to say at the beginning of what I'm about to say is I watched Father Mike Schmidt's commentary on this, and he did such an excellent job. But I agree with him that they could have shown her prayer life more.
Right.
Do you know? And I think that that's kind of the core of my experience of quote unquote fighting for my faith. I feel like that example and the way that you said it, she was fighting her penny pinching mindset. I think that that is like the core of what happens. That's the big tussle. That's the fight. It's like, am I going to be generous? God is magnanimous. In English, they talk about superlatives. Like God is the most beautiful, the most good, the most generous. He never is penny pinching with us. In fact, St. Paul says, God is never outdone in generosity. God loves a cheerful giver. And so Mother Cabrini, in that very moving scene of those destitute children, they were dirty and they didn't have shoes and they were participating in like almost animalistic living because they were living in such dire situations. She not only reached out to love them, she wanted to love them with the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we experience in God. That's what our experience of praying the prayers of the church, participating in the life of Christ, understanding again and again, maybe through the recitation of the rosary, which I hope we can talk about later, and the recitation of even just the creed, we start to kind of imbibe or start to kind of put on the mind of Christ. St. Paul talks about putting on the mind of Christ. And Jesus speaks about, when Jesus himself says, for those with eyes to see, let them see. For those with ears to hear, let them hear. And what are we supposed to be hearing? And what are we supposed to be seeing? We're supposed to be seeing the kingdom of God at hand. And how do we see that? We see that wherever love is present, you mm-hmm. know? And love is never skimpy. Like, you think about a mother, whether or not she's Christian or not, she's going to give that baby everything. Mm-hmm. I know a mother who was, she was a young teenager when she became pregnant, and she was addicted to drugs. She stopped drugs immediately once she found out that she had the baby, and then praise be Jesus Christ. When she saw the baby in an ultrasound, she decided to keep the baby, and she stopped smoking cigarettes and she stopped drugs, like, on the spot, because of her love. And the fact that as Christians, we discover through the revelation of Jesus Christ that God himself is love, that changes everything. It changes the way we understand all of reality. And so fighting for our faith in this sense is fighting for the vision of the truth that God is love. My life is good. Your life is good. You matter. So Mother Cabrini, clothing those children, those destitute children, she is showing us the vision of God. And that's mm-hmm. what the saints show us. They show us how to, quote unquote, fight for the faith. And it's nothing less than fighting for reality. You know, we talk about the principle of gravity, but there's also what in the faith we call the principle of the incarnation. Mm. Like, the fact that God became man changes everything. That yeah. he died on the cross for yeah. us and he rose again changes right. everything.
And that's something I want to add on to, if you don't mind. It's like, even God, he didn't withhold his only son. He let go of his only son to die on that cross in order to keep the love that he had for us. That love of God is just, I cannot fathom. Right when you mentioned that, it reminded me of just how great and magnificent God's love is. Like, he did not withhold his only son
yeah.
From the cross.
Yeah, as St. Paul says, God proves his love for us in that while we were right. still sinners, Christ he died for us. It's yeah. like, sometimes when I'm mad at even my brothers or something, I find it difficult to, like, be in the same room with them. But Christ proves his, God who is love. And, you know, you think of, like, a sensitive person, part of their cross is that they feel things more deeply. Mm-hmm. So God who is love is most sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so that he would die for us while we were still enemies of God, that is amazing. And so that's worthy of a contemplation that is like a fight. Mm-hmm. You know, like, one of the reasons why I love St. Francis de Sales is his spirituality is so amazing. He says it takes more strength to be gentle, actually, than to be, like,
that's
abrasive
very true.
Or strong. Yeah. You know, yeah. like, the gentleness of God, the patience of God, it's wiser, it's bolder, it's more beautiful. It fights more for us. We will never exhaust God's mercy for us, mm-hmm. this side of heaven.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I chose the scene of Mother Cabrini picking between these two options for the kids and then mentioning this penny-pinching mindset is because I think many Vietnamese families, and maybe it's part of the Vietnamese culture, that we tend to view money in such a, like, a high important, or like a, like, we almost as if we worship money type of thing. So we value money mm-hmm. incredibly. Mm-hmm. And that at times is the factor that hinders us mm-hmm. from being open and personal and loving to other people, like, from parents to kids especially. What would be your advice to parents, to our Vietnamese culture, you know, with that mindset? And because of that mindset as well, like, people are sacrificing their times on a Sunday instead of going to mass to work extra hours. And even though they have a good intention to, you know, raise their family, to keep their family kind of, like, alive and well, what would be your advice?
I'll just say, like, I don't want to be too harsh, you mm-hmm. know, because all of us have vices. Vices are the opposite of virtues. It is not a virtue to be a penny pincher or to seek after money. Like, let's just put that out on the table. It's not something that's recommended. But on the other hand, it's also really important that we don't condemn ourselves or we don't accuse ourselves. That's if ever in our hearts and in our minds we feel like accusatory, and this is not how you were just, well, that's not how you set up the question, but I'm just kind of putting out the landscape right now. But like, the devil is the accuser, you know? So if ever I feel like in my mind I'm shaming myself for a vice that I have, it would be better for me just to be a little bit more gentle, kind of dial up the gentleness. And, you know, we just talked about Francis de Sales and his amazing spirituality. And to ask what the good is, you know, so when I'm making my examination of conscience and I keep on confessing the same things, maybe I do worship money, okay, because I'm hardcore Vietnamese person. Like, I mean, I've met a lot of Vietnamese people like that. The problem is, and let's just be real, Jesus said you can't serve both God and mammon.
Exactly.
Like that's God himself speaking. And then it's not an antidote, but like if you work enough on a Sunday and you don't remember that it's the Lord's day, that's going to form you. It's going to cause you to live in a certain way. And if you continue to be selfish or whatever, all those other things that mm-hmm. kind of are wrapped up in money, that's going to form you. It's going to make you cling to things that are not higher. And that's not what life is about. Mm-hmm. You know, how much money can you take with you to heaven? Zero.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would say the last thing I would say regarding all of that is this applies to any kind of vice that we're dealing with, whether it has to do with even addictions or something. Try to replace it with something good. Mm. So what's the opposite of hoarding money and seeking after money? Generosity. Mm-hmm. Generosity after those that really need your monies. And I'm not saying like go sell your house. I'm saying like be ready to give and notice. Try to be generous. And if you can't part with your money yet, try to be generous with your compliments. Try to be generous with the way that you don't compete with other people. When you see someone that's more successful than you, especially in financial matters, take a moment in your heart and thank God right. for that success.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good advice.
Yeah. So kind of like in closing, there's this beautiful quote that John Paul II used to quote all the time in like his audiences and everything he wrote a lot. And he would quote from a document from the Second Vatican Council. It says that Jesus Christ reveals man fully to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. And I love that because all of us have a supreme calling. All of us have this desire for greatness and for glory. And that is inborn. It's something that God has given to us. And how do we discover that glory that God has placed within us? It's in relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so the best remedy for any kind of vice that we have or anything that we're kind of struggling against or fighting against is to go more and more into the heart of Jesus, more and more into the heart of God the Father, to have God tell me who I am so that I'm not looking for my identity in things that are not of God.
Mm-hmm. And connecting it to this idea that you mentioned about having a relationship with God, having a personal relationship with God, how can we fight well for our faith now that we've tackled like the why? How can we remain steadfast and loyal to our faith?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I think that in quote unquote fighting for our faith, we want to use like the best quote unquote weapons that we have. And of course, we know that the best quote unquote weapon that we have is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Mm-hmm. And then second best to that is actually, I mean, all the sacraments, but then the Most Holy Rosary. And the reason why participating in the Mass as regularly as we can, but definitely, you know, the Blessed Mother really recommends that we pray the Rosary even every day. And the reason for that is because it immerses us into the life of Jesus. So if you think about the power of the Mass, you go through the entire life of Christ every year. Like we just got to go through, I mean, it's kind of grueling. I don't know, you probably felt the same way, but I definitely feel like it's hard to go through the passion narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to think about God dying, but then the joy of Easter is so amazing. And with the rosary in kind of a micro way, you go through the entire life of Christ. If you pray it every day, you've prayed just like one of the mysteries every day, you go through the life of Christ twice in a week. And what does that do? It helps us to learn like, oh, wow, like really, really, really wonderful holy people like the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and the saints that were around Jesus's time and Jesus himself. They've had to go through difficulties like I'm going through. They've had to wait. They've had to be patient with God's, you know, timing. they've had to carry their crosses. They've had their struggles with belief. What does belief look like when things look like they're failing or falling apart? So that kind of gives us eyes to see and ears to hear the kingdom of God. And there's this beautiful quote. It's very short, from the Surrender Novena. It speaks about standing in the flowing current of my grace. So that's Jesus speaking. The flowing current of my grace. That's what the Mass is, and that's what the Holy Rosary is. You're standing in the flowing current of the grace of God. And then as I was preparing for this, I just remembered this quote from the Diary of St. Faustina. And Jesus said to St. Faustina, "But child, you are not yet in your homeland. So go, fortified by my grace, and fight for my kingdom in human souls. Fight as a king's child would. And remember that the days of your exile will pass quickly." I just love that line because, I like how tender Jesus is. He says, "My child, mm-hmm. You are not yet in your homeland." And I like the idea of homeland, because all of us need a home and we need a place where we feel safe and secure and at rest. And then he says, "Fight as a king's child." Mm-hmm. And if we think of who we know God the Father to be as revealed by Jesus Christ, the king that we have is actually a father. And is a father who loves us so tenderly that he will not hold anything back to come and to help us, mm-hmm. no matter what it is, big or small. And all of us have like father wounds and mother wounds, like it's because we're human beings. But we've also had experiences of father-like figures and mother-like figures that have come to us and have created like almost a home for us. And so from that place of security, I just love that idea that, our king is our father, and we can fight as a king's child. Why? Because we know how good our father mm-hmm. is. And so when we're fighting for human souls, it's like we're not doing violence. We're running out there to say, "You are so loved. You are so, so loved. You don't even know how loved you are. If you knew how loved you are, you might lose your mind." Mm-hmm. That's how good God is.
Yeah. And that also ties so well with like the mission of this podcast, talking about identity,
yes.
that like you are a king's child. That is your identity. Your identity is found nowhere else. And that's the strength that we should rely on to fight for our own faith.
Right.
And I want to take this topic a bit further and bridge the previous episode in which we talked about suffering and pain. And I want to bridge it to today's theme. Fighting for our faith will require us to take at times scary and challenging steps. It will require us to step out of our comfort zone, to possibly take a leap of faith, to embrace the quote-unquote new world, just like Mother Cabrini, and basically start with barely nothing in her hands, and perhaps to stay and stand at the foot of the cross and be the last person to stand at the foot of the cross, to watch something so painful happen in front of our eyes, just like Mother Mary did. And I think Mother Mary knew she could not keep Jesus for herself. And she was willing to let her son take on that cross to save humanity in order to keep her faith and her love for God. It's just a beautiful, beautiful scene. How does sacrificing and fighting for our faith bring us to our God-given purpose?
I think our world has an allergy to sacrifice and suffering.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so I think that's like really important to just to kind of acknowledge. And so as we're kind of thinking about fighting for our faith, it's good to be aware the air that we breathe in the world right now. The world is not used to sacrifice. But the best things in life come with sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody just gifted me with a gym membership, and I'm like not sportsy at all. Or sporty, I don't know how you say that. See, I don't even know how to speak about being athletic. But in order to learn how to work out, I need to sacrifice. I need to sacrifice time to that. I need to sacrifice my ego. Like I need to like go read the thing on the workout machine. Like how do you use this thing so that you don't like, I don't know, break a bone or something like that. So, I mean, that's just a humorous example. But when you think about what love requires, even if you just think in terms of just basic friendship, you have to sacrifice your way of thinking at least for 5 minutes so you can listen to the person in
right.
front of you,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you actually fall in love with someone, you need to sacrifice a lot of your preferences.
A lot
in
of
order
your ego, yeah.
A lot of your ego
yeah.
in order to maybe marry the person and create a life with them.
Right, yeah.
So it's just built into who we are.
Yeah. And I love that you talked about that, because I feel like there are a lot of things that we should let go of in ourselves in order to keep our faith in God. What examples come up to you in terms of like, what should we be letting go? What should we be letting go in our lives to keep our faith with God?
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned ego,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a big thing.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people, like whenever I've given talks or like in spiritual direction or something, I always kind of caution people against going out there and being like, I'm going to sacrifice this. I'm going to fast this way. First, go to the heart of Jesus. See what your heart does next to his heart. Allow God to speak your name to you. Like during the Easter season, we hear the reading of Mary Magdalene. She goes to the tomb early in the morning and she's super distraught because she thinks that people stole the body of the Messiah. And she loves Jesus. She had given her whole life to follow him and to be his disciple. So Jesus appears behind her and she thinks that he's the gardener. So she's kind of like, get away from, she didn't say get away, but she's kind of like, get away from me, gardener. If you know where they took his body, tell me. I'm going to go pick him up myself, even though she's probably the frame of a woman and can't carry like a carpenter's body. But anyways, but then when Jesus says to her, her name, he says, Mary, it changes everything. She recognizes Jesus when Jesus says her name. And I feel like that is the principle of all discernment in terms of like what we should be sacrificing. First, learn to hear God say your name. Listen to how God says your name. And habituate yourself to how God is loving you into existence. And then from there, it's going to be very easy for you to get rid of your habitual sins, to make the sacrifices necessary. But without that power of love, I don't think we have a lot of business going around sacrificing this and that or trying to fix myself, you know, because a lot of times I might approach my spiritual life and say, oh, Sister Maria Kim, you are this way and you are that way. But when I bring that to God and God speaks back to me, he tells me that there's a wound there that needs healing. Maybe there's an addictive way of thinking that needs healing. And that changes everything because there's love there. And that relationship with God is going to strengthen me to be able to make every sacrifice under the sun.
And I love how you spoke about, you know, drawing near to the heart of God, listening to how God calls your name. I think it's very personal, very heartwarming. But for people who don't necessarily understand what that means, could you explain a little more, elaborate a little more by what you mean by that?
Yeah, there's many ways of doing that. The first thing I would kind of suggest is, and this is kind of exciting, I kind of nerd out about these things, so I try to give a short answer, but two things. The first is ask yourself, dedicate like just 1 month, every time you go to Mass, say to yourself, you are going to see the King of the universe, the King of the cosmos, the Lord of everything, and he loves me personally. He calls me by name. And then pick out clothing that would match that. Where, like when you go to Mass, that's what's happening. God is like parting the seas to come be with you. He's wanting to come and live inside of you in the Most Blessed Sacrament through the reception of Holy Eucharist. Like if you were for 1 month just to remind yourself of what you were doing before you went to Mass and to think of how God is looking at you personally during Mass the entire time and loving you into existence, that will change the way that you come to Mass. And the second option that we could do is if there's a scripture passage, I like to lean on scripture a lot because it's the living word of God. The Holy Spirit is with us when we use scripture. If there's a scripture passage that really has struck you, and you might not even know where it comes from in the Bible, Google it on your phone and then find where that is. And then read that passage out loud as though God is saying it directly to you, saying your name. So like, for example, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. But what would happen if you heard Jesus in your prayer, instead of just saying you could say, you could hear Jesus saying, Vivian, I no longer call you a servant, I call you a friend. Vivian, I have called you by name. You are mine. Mm. Or Vivian, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Like that would change your whole life, because the living word of God is, you know, scripture says in Hebrews, St. Paul says in the book of Hebrews, the word of God is living and effective. It strikes mm-hmm. to the heart. So put your name there in the scripture passage
right.
and then read it.
And I think that's also practical to like the word of God being God's love letter to you. So why would he not call you by name? Why would he not put your name in there? It's his love letter to you. I love that.
Yeah.
And I loved how you talked about, you know, Mass as Jesus parting the sea to be with you. He's fighting to part that sea to be with you.
Amen.
And he allowed himself to be broken, the broken bread, to be with you. I think that's so beautiful. It's so exquisite.
Yeah. And not to, like, we go to Mass because we're a community, but it's also true that God is looking directly at you, mm-hmm. breathing you into existence, especially during the Mass. Like, the Mass is for you. So listen as though God is speaking directly to you.
Right. And then using that strength to fight for the faith that he fought for you.
Yeah.
Do you have any last words or any messages to our audience as an encouragement during this Easter season?
Yeah, I would just say one of the things I've been reflecting on in these months is how very Marian the Archdiocese of Portland is. You know, Mater Dei Radio, the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, you think of the Grotto, you think of Holy Rosary Parish. How deep are the roots of Marian devotion here? And of all the devotions in all the world, Marian devotion is the most important, besides, of course, being devoted to God. But the great saints will say that the most effective way to the heart of Jesus and to the heart of God and to true spirituality is with our Blessed Mother. And so I would just say, you know, during this Easter season, do what you can to grow in love with the Blessed Mother. Like, it could be that you find a really beautiful image of the Blessed Mother and you print it from your computer and you put it in your wallet and you just, like, look at her, or you give a little kiss to the Blessed Mother. Or you can ask her when you see the beautiful image, like, help me to love you. Teach me about your son. Or if you'd like to, pray a prayer to the Blessed Mother, the Memorare, the Rosary. Mother Teresa used to do what was called her Rush Novena, which was 9 Memoraries at once. And honestly, I have seen miracles. I know of many stories of miracles with just that Rush Novena. And sometimes it's really, for me, a really Rush Novena. I'm like, I'm panicked. And I'm praying that Memorare Novena, and it works. So I would say if you want to do something great for yourself, love the Blessed Mother more, especially during Easter.
And I do really agree with what you were saying, because especially this during that Lent season that we just went through, it was like contemplating on the love that Mother Mary has for us. Like, that changes your heart so much. And I'm like, Mother, I've learned so much from you, and I will always continue to learn from you, because it has impacted me so much. And I pray and hope that everyone who comes to our Blessed Mother encounters the same love, because it's so powerful. She really can lead you to Jesus, because sometimes it sounds a little superficial and it's like beyond our understanding, but really when you encounter it, it's beautiful. And I want to end this episode with our challenges. So here is our challenge for this month. I really invite you to think of something that is keeping you from fully loving God and the people around you. What is keeping you from being present with them, from spending time with him? And what is keeping you from being honest, from being personal, and from being loyal to God? And whatever it may be, I invite you to bring it to prayer, to release it from the palms of your hands, and to give it to God. Allow your faith and love for God to be the compass that guides you through each day, and allow your inner strength to fight for your faith. Allow yourself to draw near to the heart of God and to listen to him call your name, because he fought for you, and so it's so worth it to fight for him. And I want to end with a Bible scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7-8. And it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Sister Maria Kim, you are just so lovely and incredible as always. Through Thick and Thin, thanks you for choosing to be back here again and for sharing your inspiring perspectives.
It's my honor, and I'm praying for everyone who listens to the podcast.
Thank you. As always, much love to you and wishing you peace and joy always in every decision you make. And thank you to everyone who has tuned into this podcast. Once again, you can find us on the free Hail Mary Media app or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're on the app, check out other Vietnamese prayers and sermons and follow us on our social media pages linked in the description area below. Remember to love God more than you fear your cross, and we will see you on Friday, May 3rd, for another exciting episode. Stay holy, happy, and healthy this Easter season, and until next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Through Thick and Thin, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. Learn more about this podcast, our other shows, and other Vietnamese content by visiting the free Hail Mary Media app.